From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his exposition of Romans chapter 10 as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, God's Plan to Bring the Gospel to the World. The text is verses 11 through 21 of Romans chapter 10. The way of salvation is abundantly clear. Indeed, it is sufficient for the whole world. Yet the message must be proclaimed. As Paul puts it, how shall they hear without a preacher? God has ordained what Paul calls the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. Here is the responsibility of the church and of every individual Christian. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 1. The Sweet Psalmist of Israel. Among all the saints whose lives are recorded in Holy Writ, David possesses an experience of the most striking, varied, and instructive character. In his history, we meet with trials and temptations not to be discovered as a whole in other saints of ancient times, and hence he is all the more suggestive a type of our Lord. David knew the trials of all ranks and conditions of men. Kings have their troubles, and David wore a crown. The peasant has his cares, and David handled the shepherd's crook. The wanderer has many hardships, and David abode in the caves of En-Gedi. The captain has his difficulties, and David found the sons of Zeruiah too hard for him. The psalmist was also tried in his friends. His counselor Ahithophel forsook him. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. His worst foes were they of his own household. His children were his greatest affliction. The temptations of poverty and wealth, of honor and reproach, of health and weakness, all tried their power upon him. He had temptations from without to disturb his peace, and from within to mar his joy. David no sooner escaped from one trial than he fell into another. No sooner emerged from one season of despondency and alarm than he was again brought into the lowest depths, and all God's waves and billows rolled over him. It is probably from this cause that David's psalms are so universally the delight of experienced Christians. Whatever our frame of mind, whether ecstasy or depression, David has exactly described our emotions. He was an able master of the human heart. Because he had been tutored in the best of all schools, the school of heartfelt, personal experience. As we are instructed in the same school, as we grow matured in grace and in years, we increasingly appreciate David's psalms and find them to be green pastures. My soul, let David's experience cheer and counsel thee this day.
As I read your holy word, help me see, Lord, help me learn. Holy Spirit, from its pages lead the way. Come and melt my stubborn will, make my heart and soul be still. As I read your word, may I heed it and obey. Like the first rays of morning light, it will pierce my darkest night. showing signs of doubt and fear within my heart, showing self-confidence and pride, the rebel thoughts that plague my mind, then it brings cleansing hope that quiets my heart. So as we read your holy word, help us see, Lord, help us learn. Holy Spirit, from its pages lead the way. Open my eyes and let me see glimpses of truth you have for me. For in your word I find the truth that sets me free.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Supplies are limited, so request yours right away. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
In chapter 10, the first three verses, he shows that nothing, not even the most sincere religious zeal, not even a zeal that is directed, at least professedly, toward the Lord Jehovah, not even a zeal that can read the Scriptures and recite the prayers of Scripture and sing the songs of Scripture, not even a zeal for the righteousness of the law. May I say that's the highest form of religious zeal of which the unregenerate man is capable. Not even that can take the place of saving faith. Then we pointed out from verses 4 through 8 that the reason why the Lord insists on faith alone for salvation is the impossibility of any other way of attaining to righteousness before God. There is no other way. Then verses 9 and 10, we dealt with last week, that this gospel demands a very particular kind of faith, and it places everyone who hears it under the obligation to exercise this faith in Jesus Christ. Now we get to our Bible reading for tonight, starting in verse 11. Now Paul takes a fifth step in his argument, and he makes the point in verses 11 through 13 that the message of justification by faith is God's message for the whole world. What he's saying here is that here is a word. Remember the background again. The Jews were carping in their criticism. They were finding fault. They were really making the good news out to be bad news. And Paul is saying, look, this is a gospel. This is a message from God that brings hope to all. It sets the word of grace before men in such a way that every man, be he Jew or Gentile, is forced to consider it. When you hear the gospel, it goes to the heart and the conscience, and it poses urgent and important questions. Now the question is not what many people would make it to be. The question is not, understand this, when you hear the gospel, the question is not, number one, am I among the elect? Take your Bible. That is an illegitimate question for any Christ-rejecting sinner to dare to ask. The question is not, am I among the elect? Let me come a little closer. When you hear the gospel, the question is not, do I have a warrant to believe? To ask that question is to put a question mark over the veracity of the Scriptures of truth and the sincerity of the God of truth. Do I have a warrant to believe? Those are not the questions. When you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the question that it forces in upon the conscience is very simple. We have just last week noted the words, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Arising out of that, one question only must be forced upon the conscience, and it is, do I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead? Do I or do I not? And if I do, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And if I don't, the Bible implies, thou shalt not be saved. Now that is plain, simple, straightforward. There is no way whereby the Holy Ghost, inspiring the Apostle Paul here, is going to allow anybody to take the gospel of justification by free grace through faith in the merits of Christ and mystify it by a misapplication of the various truths that Paul has been dealing with in Romans 9 as he defends God and his gospel from the attacks of these critics. Do I confess and do I believe? Now, I want to stop there tonight. I must confess it would be very easy for me just to rush ahead here. But there we must stop. Because that's a question I want you to ponder. It's a question I must constantly ask myself. And I do not imply by that any doubt as to my perception of my standing in Christ. But this is a question that must be faced by every man, woman, and child here. You're in a Christian church. You're in a Bible-believing church. You're in a gospel-preaching church. You're in a place where you've heard again and again, if you've been attending here, of the mighty marvels of the sovereign saving grace of God in Jesus Christ. Some of you know your Bibles very well. You've been learning Bible from your earliest days in Christian school. You can recite perhaps hundreds of gospel texts from the Word of God. I can ask you these points of Christian belief, and you have the proper answer. But I want to ask you to face the question, do I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord? The one who died in my place and shed his precious blood for the redemption of my soul, the expiation of my guilt, and my reconciliation unto God. Do I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord? That's the question. Is this a mere lip confession to keep my parents off my back, or to keep my teachers off my back? Or is this the honest confession of a soul that has been brought to see that it's a vile and filthy thing in its own righteousness, and if it received anything from God that was just, it would have to be hell forever? Is this the confession of a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl who has been brought to the place of recognizing God is holy and I am unholy? God is righteous and I am unrighteous. God is good and I am rotten to the core. But Jesus Christ died for sinners, and I embrace him as my Lord. Is that your confession? Do I believe from my heart? Remember, I pointed out we're not speaking there of heart belief versus some other form of belief. There's really only one true form of believing. Believing from the heart is believing with the entire moral nature. It's with the will and the affections. In other words, there is reality to this. This is not profession. Believing from the heart that God hath raised him from the dead is a shorthand way, really, if you go right back to Romans 4:25 and all that follows, it's a shorthand way, really, of saying, I embrace God's way of justifying the ungodly. I take Christ, who was delivered for my offenses and raised again for my justification. I take him for my righteousness, him for my salvation. I have Christ and none else. I abandon all hope in the flesh. I abandon all holiness of the flesh, for there's no such thing. I abandon myself to the arms of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. Now I want to ask you, is that your testimony? You better face that. You'd better be sure on that score. No other testimony is a saving testimony. If you could look into hell tonight, there are baptized souls in hell. If you could look into hell, there are Baptists and Presbyterians and Methodists and Episcopalians and Roman Catholics, and you name all the rest of them, along with the heathen, and they're there together. If you could look into hell tonight, you could see people who walked the aisle, who signed the card, who joined the church. Could you look into hell tonight? You would see people who sat in church pews the way you're sitting tonight. Remember what John Bunyan saw? As Christian approached the gates of glory, then I saw there was a way to hell from the gates of heaven, just as truly as from the city of destruction. The only response of faith that will unite you to Christ and lead you to the joy of justification is this: yes, I do confess Him as my Lord and believe from my heart that God has raised Him for my justification from the dead. Now, given that testimony, which I hope and pray is your testimony, and if it's not your testimony, that tonight you will not rest until it becomes your testimony. That tonight you will seek Him and find Him, for He is willing to be found of those who seek Him with their whole heart. But given that that is your testimony, now according to verse 11, this is an assurance of perfect acceptance at the judgment of God. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Here's the gospel for the world. Here's the gospel message for a world naturally condemned, for a world tottering on the edge of a lost eternity. It's a message of assurance and acceptance at the judgment bar of God. When you go out to meet God, as you are, and I'm not going to prove what I'm saying at the minute. I have been over this ground, this text quoted from Isaiah 26:18, this text in verse 11, is worded in such a way that it has the connotation of the judgment. This brings you into the presence of the judge. And what it's saying is, when Christ is your Lord and your righteousness, when you stand before God, you will never be put to shame. My, what a thrill that is. Think of it. You. I. What are we? Worms of the dust. To use the psalmist's description, maggots on a dunghill. Yeah, doesn't flatter us, does it? That's what we are. Some people don't like to recognize what they are. But my friend, that's what we are. And yet he's saying, listen, you will not be put to shame when you stand before God. You will have a righteousness that will pass the scrutiny of the bright and blinding investigation of the judge. You have an acceptance that will be welcomed with trumpet blast to glory. My, that's the gospel. Of God's assured acceptance of believers.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.